Well, this is the time of year when it happens. You know what I'm talking about. You walk into the den just as you have for the last couple of weeks, and you recognize everything is exactly right for Christmas. The tree is trimmed. The house is decorated. Signs of Christmas are everywhere. Lights are glowing no matter where you turn. Your favorite Christmas music is playing in the background. And then you look under the tree, and you recognize there's something new. A package. That package. You know what I'm talking about. That package that you never noticed before, and it's got your name on it. Man, this is intriguing. This is interesting. I wonder what's in that package. And then just as you're ready to find out, you see that little sign on it, and you know what it says, don't you? Do not open until Christmas. It's going to be a couple of days yet before you can know what's in that package. So what happens? For the next few days, you can't leave that package alone. Every time you walk by it, you pick it up. You turn it this way, and you turn it that way, and you shake it, and you listen to it. You feel the weight, and you try to figure out, what on earth could this be? Even begin to think about, so who do I know and what have I said to them about something I really wanted for Christmas, because I want to know what's in that package. And you just can't leave it be. It's almost like every day, every moment, every hour, you have to touch it just to make sure it's real and it's going to be yours. And you know, I'm not going to be satisfied until I can get my hands on this special gift. The same thing is true about John's description of the coming of Christ. That description we've been looking at all month from the book of 1 John, where he wrote, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled." We got hold of God's great gift. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem, he became the God that we could reach. Until the coming of Christ, people thought that was impossible. In fact, people believed that God was too holy, too apart, too far distant for anybody to reach, for anybody to ever be involved in a personal relationship with. That God was way out there and we were way down here and we were not worthy to lay our hands on Almighty God. But with the birth of Jesus, God was suddenly within reach. Not only could people touch him, ordinary people could touch him. Great people could touch him. Everybody could come and lay their hands on God's great gift. No wonder when you read Luke's description of Christ's birth, everything is about the power of touch. The passage we read together just a few moments ago talks about all of the ways that Joseph and Mary touched this little boy. Listen to how Luke describes what Mary did in those first moments of incarnation. First, it says she gave birth to her firstborn son, the ultimate act of physical intimacy. Nothing comes close to that bond that instantly forms between mother and child. The Bible says she gave birth to him and then she wrapped him in swaddling clothes. What swaddling clothes? I want you to know, when I was looking at the passage this morning, I thought, okay, we've all used it. We all say it. In fact, if I had said wrapped him in cloth, as some translations would, everybody would say, that just doesn't sound right. Everybody knows that baby Jesus was wrapped in what? Swaddling clothes. So what's a swaddle? And how do you do it? As I was thinking about that, the only thing I could think about to some of our young parents here is those blankets that Judith makes and gives to our newborns so that they can have something soft and something warm and something personal from the day they're born. And you know what I do to help her with that? Nothing. I stay away from it. But you know what I mean? You have to think that swaddling clothes, sometimes people will say, oh, Mary and Joseph, looked around the barn there. They looked around the stable and they found some rough piece of canvas or some sort of something that they could wrap that child up, and that's what they used. But I don't think so, because I know young mothers. And what I know about young mothers is when they know a baby is on the way, they've got something special waiting. And when the Bible says that Mary wrapped her infant son in swaddling clothes, you know what it's saying. The Bible is saying, and she pulled out that blanket that she had been praying over and thinking over and dwelling over for a long time. That one that she packed away when she knew they were on the way to Bethlehem so that it would be ready when the baby was born. So that from the beginning, when she touched this infant son, she also wrapped him in a blanket full of love. Isn't that great? And then she laid him in a manger, lovingly, tenderly putting him in a place of security where she could keep her eyes on him and keep her hands on him. But it wasn't just Mary. When the birth is announced to the shepherds, the angels did not declare to them, "Born to you is a Savior. Take my word for it. You can believe it because I have declared it." What did he say? Go and see. Touch him for yourself. See him for yourself. Recognize this is God come to earth. He has kept his promise. When the wise men show up later, they bring gifts to him and they present them, not from a distance, but personally. They gave to him gifts. And when John thought back over his years with Jesus, he declared, "We touched him. We handled him with our hands. We ate with him. We walked with him. We listened to what he had to say. We watched what he did. We laughed with him and cried with him. We followed him wherever he led. We were up close and personal." Because the Bible reminds us that Jesus was a hands-on Savior. And Christmas is the season when we celebrate the one who came to save. Why is it so important for us to know that when Jesus came on that first Christmas, that he came all the way to where we are? Why do we need to know he was close enough to touch? Because when Jesus was born as a baby in Bethlehem, he was revealing some things about God that you need to know this morning. He came to reveal that he was absolutely present among us. He was absolutely there. Jesus didn't come part of the way to where we are. He didn't come half the way or even most of the way. The Bible says he came all the way down to where you are. That God Almighty took on human flesh and came to live among us. A few weeks ago, I was sharing with our Sunday evening crowd about that passage in the Gospel of John. John 1:14, where the Bible says, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us." And I was sharing with them that that word flesh that the Bible uses, that word that John uses to describe the coming of Christ, the incarnation of the Almighty, that time when Jesus set aside all of the benefits of heaven and came all the way down to where we are, that word that became flesh is the Greek word sarx, S-A-R-X. And that's a very common, ordinary word. It's not a spiritual word. It's not a theological word. You know what that word sarx means? It means flesh and blood and bone and sinew. It means this stuff. The Word became flesh. It was such a common word that if you were to leave here after church today and gather together with your family around a table somewhere, and maybe you were going to share a good roast beef dinner, and you sit down and it smells so good and it looks so good and you can't wait to dig into that roast beef, you would say to somebody, "Pass the sarx. Pass the meat. Because that's what I want." And when Jesus came to live among us, the Bible says, the Word became sarx, flesh, meat. Why did he use such an ordinary word? Because He wanted us to know he really came to where we are. He wanted to make the point that in his humanity, Jesus was exactly as we are. When we say that Christmas is a season of Emmanuel, of God with us, that is exactly what the Bible says. He says he came to be God with us. God right where we are. God no different in his fleshly composition, in his human nature than we are, because he came all the way down. He is with us. He is present. When we celebrate the coming of Christ at Christmas, we don't celebrate that event that happened a long time ago when a baby was born, a baby that grew up to be a holy man that died for the sins of humanity. We also celebrate the fact that that one who came is still here with us. He is present in the nature of his Holy Spirit. He is right there with you. The Bible says he came, and he came to be with us. And if there's anything we need to know this year, it is to know that God is with us. And in those times in your life when you're not sure what is going on, in those times when you're going through seasons of struggle, in those times when you're dealing with real disappointment, in those times when you are tempted to cry out, where is God in the midst of all of this? His answer comes clearly from 1 John. It says, I am here. I am with you. You can trust me when I say to you, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Jesus came to be with us from the cradle to the cross. He was present, and he still is. When the Bible says we were able to handle him, to touch him, it also means he was completely visible for us to see. Mankind has always wondered, so what is God like? Sometimes you hear people who are skeptics or who are struggling or who are doubters, and they'll say, you know, if he ever just showed himself to me, if I could ever see God, if I ever knew that was him, then I might believe. The Bible says when Christ was born in Bethlehem, God revealed himself, that he came to show us God up close and personal. That when he came, we could see what God is like. And when you read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, when you see the things that Jesus did, when you hear the words that Jesus taught, when you see the miracles that Jesus accomplished, then when you watch the life of Christ, what you're watching is God. God at work. That's exactly what he's like. He came to make himself visible. Years later, Philip the disciple would say to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. And Jesus responded to him clearly, have I been with you so long and yet you've not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. Jesus was not just like God, he was God. God revealing himself. One of the things we know when we look at the life of Jesus is we are looking at the heart of God. Now we know. We know how he thinks. Now we know. We know how he loves. Now we know how he shows compassion. Now we know how he reveals mercy. Now we know. Not because we're wondering or thinking or trying to guess, but because Jesus shows us. In Christ, God came to show us himself so we could worship him and know him. That's why once you've been exposed to the gospel, that's why once you have seen Jesus as he reveals himself in his word and as he reveals himself in your heart, then you can't say, I don't know what God's like. I don't know whether I can believe. All you can really say is, Now that I have seen him, I receive him or I reject him. But you can't stand on the sidelines and be neutral. Not what you've seen. Not what you've seen. Jesus came to make God visible to us. And then the Bible says he came to reveal himself to us. He was vulnerable just like we are. Luke says it clearly. Joseph didn't rest until he found a place of warmth and shelter for his new family. He was persistent when he got to Bethlehem. I will find a place for my family to stay. I don't care what you say. I don't care whether you reject me or not. You know, it's interesting to me when I read the gospel and you always hear the story about the innkeeper. You know, that innkeeper who said, well, maybe you can stay here or not. But all I really know that we see is no room at the inn. I don't know that anybody ever gave Joseph permission to take his family into that stable. He just did it. He just did it. I will provide for my family. I will take care of my wife. I am not going to let my child, God's child, be born exposed to the elements. He took care of them. Mary wrapped her baby against the cold and laid him in a manger. Why did they take such care to protect the baby Jesus? Number one, because he was helpless. He could not do it for himself. What an incredible thing to say about the Son of God. He could not do anything to take care of himself. Amazing when you think about how the gospel begins and says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. When it says, nothing that was made without him. To recognize, here's the one who had all of the power and all of eternity in his hands. And he laid it aside and he became helpless. And unless the touch of his mother and the protection of his father had provided for him, there was nothing he could do to care for himself. He was exposed. When Christ was born in a stable, it was clear the world can be a cold and hostile place. It seems to me that when Joseph and Mary gave birth to this little boy, they recognized the fact that this is not going to be an easy journey for him. It's not going to be comfortable and secure and no problems and no struggles from beginning to end. They understood the world can be a tough place. People don't automatically step aside for you or let you have your way or acknowledge who you really are, even if you are the Son of God. And they protected him because he was tired. Yes, tired from the struggles of birth, but even beyond that, it's a long way from heaven to earth. And he needed a place to rest. What am I saying? I'm saying from beginning to end, Jesus did not do anything to spare himself from the challenges and troubles the rest of us experience. If you read the story of Christmas, one of the things you recognize is that Jesus came to be right in the middle of us where we could touch him and we could handle him and to recognize he didn't do anything to make himself special. Jesus did not come to the earth bubble wrapped. He did not come to the earth protected by angels who would never allow him to be harmed or to struggle or to catch a cold or to be different. Instead, he came to be right where we are. Beyond that, he didn't do anything to protect himself spiritually in a world that was covered by the darkness of sin. You know, you would think that when God allowed his son to come to the earth, that God would say, okay, but hands off of his soul. Stay away from his spirit. You cannot touch him. But instead, Hebrews 4:15 declares this about Jesus. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. What am I saying? He came transparently, openly. It's especially true when he would become the Lamb of God and give himself as a perfect sacrifice. So what was Jesus telling us by allowing us to be close enough to touch him? From the cradle in Bethlehem to the empty tomb to the upper room, he revealed himself to be present. He made himself known. He became vulnerable for our sakes. Jesus was revealing two things you need to know on this Sunday before Christmas. Two things I want you to remember as you celebrate his birth. The first thing is this: Jesus wants you to know, I am available to you. I'm here for you. 1 John says, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. I love that promise, don't you? Truly, our fellowship is with God. Truly, our fellowship is with Jesus. I am available to you. You can have fellowship with him. That comes from a personal walk with God. It is amazing to know that when Jesus came, what he was really saying was, I have come to bring you home again. I have come to bring you back to the Father. I love Christmas music. Man, every kind of way. We have been so blessed, whether it's the Christmas music that we saw a couple of weeks ago when there were 100 people in this choir and 35 people in the orchestra and children's choirs and youth choirs, and it was incredible. And I love that kind of music. And I love the Christmas music where two dorks sit upside down and play a piano like this, the way we saw last Sunday. I love it all. The truth is, somewhere about the middle of November, I get out these things, young people, called Christmas CDs. Ask your parents. And middle of November, one after another, because I've got a couple of hundred of them, just putting them in, listening to my Christmas music. You want to listen to something different in my car, on my radio? Well, you better hope you got in when I was listening to sports talk, because that's the only other thing that's on in my car during this season of the year. So the other day, I'm driving down the road in my car, and I'm listening to some Christmas music, and that great Christmas carol comes up. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king. And I'm listening to this choir sing it, and all of a sudden, this one line pops out into my brain. I mean, I've heard it, I've sung it, I've repeated it 1,000 times in my lifetime, but somehow this one line just popped out. And you know what it said? God and sinners reconciled. God and sinners reconciled. I am available to you. I am here to bring you back home. I am here to wipe away your sin. I am here to have mercy on you. I am here to restore fellowship. If you don't hear anything else I say this Christmas Sunday, hear this. Jesus Christ invites you to fellowship with him. He invites you to know him personally and up close so that you can hear him speak in your heart, hear him speak in his word, hear his promise, I am here for you. God and sinners reconciled. And then the second thing that Jesus wants you to know is that you can experience real joy through him. John declares, and these things we write to you that your joy may be full. Christmas is a season of joy. You walk around anywhere, you'll see that word, joy. You'll hear that word, joy. You experience that word, joy. Christmas is a season of joy, not just happiness, not passing pleasure, not the contentment of a moment. Jesus came to bring the only joy that can last, because joy is the evidence of peace with God. It's not a superficial word. It's not a silly word. It is a word that says, here is someone who knows what it means to be in a real relationship with God, to recognize my sins have been washed away. I have been made brand new. I can walk with God, and I have joy. And if you don't have Christ, you can't have joy. And if you turn away from Him, you won't have joy. And if you're not experiencing joy this Christmas, you may need to ask yourself the question, so how am I doing with God? How's my relationship with Christ? Have I neglected it? Have I turned away from it? Have I taken vacation from it? Because if you're not close to Him, you're nowhere close to joy. No wonder the angel declared, I come to bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Nobody's excluded from the God who came close enough to touch. Born to you this day in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And that declaration still rings true today. Born to you. Born to you. It's a personal kind of gift. It's to you. Just this past week, I had one of those experiences that vividly reminded me again, the Lord knows exactly where I am. He knows exactly what's going on. And He has a plan. Has that ever happened in your life? Those times when all of a sudden God just steps in and lets you know, I know what's going on in your life. Because it's always just that personal. And that's why it's my privilege to declare to you today, as we prepare to go from here and move into that celebration of the coming of Jesus, unto you is born a Savior. He is Christ the Lord. He is Christ your Lord, if you've trusted Him, if you belong to Him. If you're here today and you don't know Him, not personally, not in a real way, you know, you may know about Him, you may even believe about Him, but you don't know Him. If you've never entered into a personal relationship with Him, today's the day you need to trust Christ. Unto you is born a Savior. Unto you, the one who can bring God's presence into your life, into you, He who can wipe away your sin and wash you with the mercy that comes through Jesus. Unto you is born a Savior. Will you trust Him? He's Christ the Lord. Maybe you're here today and you need to trust Jesus as your Savior. Maybe right now your heart's beginning to pound because you recognize He's calling your name. And you need to trust Him. And you don't want to go through another Christmas without a relationship with Jesus. Just a moment when we sing our invitation hymn, you can walk down these aisles and I'm going to be here and Rich is going to be here. And we would love to introduce you to Jesus. Or maybe you're here and you're recognizing, boy, this is a place where God just wants to use me and bless me. And I want to be part of what God's doing at First Baptist. And we'd be glad to receive you into membership. Or maybe there's something else you need to do. As we stand, as we sing our invitation hymn, as God's Holy Spirit speaks to your heart, you come. Let's stand.